And welcome back to My Favorite Birder. I'm still April, and I'm still glad that you joined me. Today, I was lucky enough to have a conversation with a local legend. Yep, he's a Buckeye native. He was previously a wildlife keeper at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. He's an animal and bird rescuer extraordinaire. He does all kinds of cool stuff for Lights Out Cleveland, and he's a wildlife advocate, rehabber. Well, I believe his actual title is Wildlife Rehabilitation Specialist. If you have not met him personally, out and about, or at the Lake Erie Nature and Science Center in Bay Village, I'm sure you know of him or have seen his name. Yep, I'm talking about one of the nicest guys I know. He has a big heart and genuinely a good guy. I'm talking about the one, the only, Tim Jasinski. What? So Tim Jasinski, Lake Erie Nature and Science Center in Bay Village. You do the light. Now you're the, y'all are the creator or of the Lights Out program. Like, you invented it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so kind of. So it's kind of like a mixed story. And basically the person that is behind the fight for Lights Out Cleveland was Harvey Webster with the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. But it stems from us as well. So I believe it was like between 2002 and 2006, a lady named Sue Roman worked at one of the buildings downtown. And she was a security guard, and she would collect all these birds that were collisions from these windows, and she'd keep them in boxes in her locker. And she would bring them to us to the center at the end of the day after her work shift. And, you know, some days it would be, you know, 20 birds, some days it would be 50 birds, and live and dead. And in about five years, she brought us 2,000 birds. And, you know, that sounds like a lot until I continue to talk about what we're doing. But because of that, you know, the live birds would be brought to Lake Erie Nature and Science Center, and we would release them when they were ready. And then the dead ones would go to the Cleveland Museum of Natural History.
Okay.
And so all of the dead birds, you know, are used for, you know, scientific data at the museum. And so, you know, many of these species are ones you aren't often, you know, getting as a researcher, like, you know, warblers and thrushes and things like that. So we would donate, you know, at the center, we donate all of our dead birds that, you know, don't make it through the rehab process to the museum so they could use them for their collection. And you know, it's just birds they normally wouldn't get, so that, you know, even after death, these birds can be used in scientific studies that help the species, and it helps us understand and learn about birds. And so, because of all the birds going there, Harvey wanted to get a Lights Out program going. And I think in 2012, Ohio Lights Out, run by Ohio Bird Conservation Initiative, Matt Schumar down there in Columbus, they started a Lights Out Columbus. And, you know, Harvey wanted to get it going in Cleveland. And so he branded it originally Smart Light Safe Flight. And as I just tried, I can't say it properly. And so it didn't really get off the ground real well. And he wanted to call it Lights Out Cleveland, but they didn't like that notion, because back then, you know, we were just getting lights back on in Cleveland, so to speak. And so they didn't like that, you know, thought process of it. So that's when he branded it Smart Light Safe Flight. You know, they had a logo written up with a swallow on it, actually, and swallows are diurnal migrants. So I kind of threw that off as well. And so he tried to, you know, kind of get it going, but nothing ever happened. It just kind of fizzled out, and it didn't go anywhere. We didn't have any building enrollment and things like that. So it didn't happen. So flash forward to 2016, I was, you know, at work. We admitted 18 American woodcocks in that spring that were brought in from the public in downtown Cleveland. Lake Erie Nature and Science Center does not have the resources to go out and pick up animals, you know, as we're caring for the ones that we have and, you know, things like that. So we just can't go out and do that. So the public brought us 18 woodcocks I actually went down and got one myself because people kept calling about this poor bird on the south side of PNC on East 9th, but no one would bring it to us. I'm like, you know what? I'll go down and get the damn bird. I was like, I felt bad because people kept calling about it all day. So I went downtown and tried to figure out where I was at, and I kind of found it, and I rescued the bird, and that was one of five that we released that year or that spring. So I was pissed, you know. I was like, this is stupid. We need to really do something about this. This is way too many birds, and we can do something about it. I mean, Chicago has a successful lights out program. So does Toronto, run by Flaps. So I was like, we need to do this. So I actually ran into Matt Schumar, I think it was that fall, at our annual Ohio Wildlife Rehab Association conference. And right after he did a presentation about lights out, Ohio Lights Out with Columbus. I'm like, I ran up to him afterwards. I'm like, dude, we need to do something in Cleveland. He's like, Yeah. I'm like, no, seriously. Like, we need to do something. This is irritating. And so, you know, I'm very gung-ho about things, and other people don't move it or talk as fast as I do, but I just had to do it. So kind of nothing really happened. So then fast forward to that spring of 17, kind of like in February, Matt had reached out to me, and he said, hey, Tim, you want to do lights out? I'm like, yeah, I've been telling you guys, let's do this.
Right.
So we had a meeting, Harvey, Matt, and I, and Andy Jones with the museum there. We had a meeting, and so I got a monitoring program going, and that's when we first started. It was that spring. I had a bunch of friends down there helping me, birder friends, zookeeper friends, and we initiated our first monitoring effort down there, and that's how it started. Was that spring of 2017?
That's fantastic. So lucky. So explain what makes the birds hit the glass.
So the collisions are a huge problem across North America and everywhere. And there's two parts to the collision situation. There's two parts of two parts. One is that a lot of birds are found in downtown areas with all of these big buildings. But the majority of collisions happen actually at residential houses, because there's more of those. So we don't really know the impact of what residential houses are taking, it's just an estimation, but there's more concentration of them happening in cities like Cleveland. So that's the part of it. But the reason why they hit windows is most of these songbirds are nocturnal migrants. So they're flying at night. There's less predation. It's cooler. The winds might be a better direction, or moving in the right direction at nighttime for them. And so they're following the lunar path, the stars, the moon, the magnetic fields of the Earth, other cool things that we don't understand. And they fly at night. And so when they're migrating at night, they come over a city, and the lights disorient the birds. So they kind of come down into the city, and they're attracted to these white lights. We don't really know why they're attracted to it, but they are. And so they come down into the city, and then they strike windows before dawn. They kind of are attracted to the open windows, or the lit up windows. So they, think they can get into the building, so to speak. They're not trying to get into the building, but they're attracted to the light, and they slam into the glass and fall to their death, or they're injured. But the majority of the strikes happen right at dawn. So a lot of these birds come down at nighttime when it's dark, and they're kind of flying around trying to figure out where they're at. And, a lot of them do, hit the windows, before dawn. But what happens right at dawn is, and all the birds that are still safe, or the birds are still descending from up in the sky, now come down into the city, and it's all a big, huge surrounding, wall of glass, basically. Every building has glass. Some have bigger panes of glass, some have smaller panes of glass, but they're trying to feed now. And so they're at these sites with all of this green space directly adjacent to a wall of glass. So the birds don't understand the concept of glass like we do. We understand it because we made it, but they don't get that. So they slam into the glass at dawn is the highest peak for us for Lights Out Cleveland, is right at dawn. So that's when most of the birds are colliding. And it's because they're seeing an extension of the habitat, not a reflection. They think if they can fly through it, as they don't understand the concept of glass, then they hit the window.
Right. Oh, it's awful. And the majority is spring and fall migration. Some not during that time, but the most of it is just migration.
It, you know what? It honestly probably happens year round, but the concentration of strikes is going to be spring and fall migration, with more so in fall. We see a larger, much larger increase of the numbers in fall. You know, some of the migration patterns are different on birds, but also it's just there's all the young birds are coming down for their first flight after hatching that year, and so that's why we get more as well. But it really depends on the season. An average so far, you know, spring of 17, we collected about 300 birds. We don't really have the numbers exact because we're still kind of learning on how to track the data and things like that. But we had about 300 birds, and I know we released 74. I remember that number for sure. And then the following spring in 2018, we collected about 820 birds. And then this last spring in 2019, we collected about 600 some birds. So it really depends on many different factors, but mostly weather related.
Gotcha. And then it's all volunteers that pick up the birds and citizens?
Yeah, Lights Out Cleveland is a full volunteer effort. All of the people that are involved, I think there's about 80 volunteers involved with Lights Out Cleveland, and that's from monitoring volunteers downtown on the streets, collecting these birds. And then there's also the behind-the-scenes folks like Liz that does our volunteer. She's a volunteer coordinator, so she organizes all that stuff. And then, there's also data people. Our Amanda Sobrowski, she's our data person. She does all the data and weighs and IDs and stuff, does with all the dead birds before they go to the museum. So there's a lot of people involved with Lights Out Cleveland. And there's, the collaboration team, which is Harvey Webster, from the museum, and Andy Jones and a couple of the people that are helping with talking to the buildings and trying to get them to enroll and comply with our wishes with what we want, what we're hoping to happen with Lights Out Cleveland.
Which is for them to shut the lights out at nighttime during that time.
Yep. So what we're requesting is you turn off the lights from 11 o'clock PM until dawn. You're not really marketing to anyone at midnight. Nobody's down there wanting to see what your building looks like. So we ask, 11 PM to midnight, earlier the better, but, we're asking, that, and then, March 15th through the beginning of June, and then August 15th through about mid-November, or even all of November would be great, because you still have a lot of birds that are still moving through. So that's kind of what we're requesting from the business owners down there.
Have any replied or made changes?
Yeah, actually, there's I think there's over 40 buildings that have enrolled with Lights Out Cleveland. And the one of the number one buildings down there, the largest building down there, the 200 Public Square, the Huntington Building, they signed on board. I don't know if it was last spring or the fall, but they had their exterior lighting out all fall. And I think it made a huge difference, but we need to look at the data to really compare. But I know that that's my route I mainly do, and it's the Public Square route. And I didn't find many birds there at all pre-dawn, which would show that the birds are less attracted to that building because the lights are out. So yes, there are. That's the biggest so far was that building.
Yeah, that's awesome. Good news. Yeah. Good news. I think I heard about Lights Out. It must have been through Janice, I believe. And
yeah, she's one of our number one people down there.
Oh my god,
Janice is a rock star.
She is. I met her, I believe, at Sandy Ridge, but that's how I found out about you. It must have been the nuthatch maybe I brought in.
I remember that bird. Yep.
Yeah, my little nutty buddy. And she's like, take it to Tim. I'll message him. But I'm like, okay. So, yeah. And then the poor possum.
Yep. Yeah.
Animals, birds. And so about birds, because the whole thing with the idea of the podcast was to let people know how cool birds are,
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a total nerd just to like birds. Birds are super cool. So did you always like birds?
I have. Ever since I was like five or something, I've loved birds. So I've been in birds ever since. I've had cage birds my whole life. I bred cage birds, when I was about 12 or 13. I had you know, parakeets and cockatiels and finches, canaries, and all kinds of other stuff. So I've had cage birds my whole life. Those are just badass. I mean, they're amazing. Like they're all so cool. You know, that it's everything about a bird is cool. And there's so many different species that are amazing. I like waterfowl are my favorite, waterfowl and gulls, just the water birds. Songbirds are amazing too, but, it's just, birds are amazing. I mean, there's so many cool things about them, and each species has their own really cool thing about them. So, I don't know how people can't like birds, to be honest with you. Right. And if you don't, I really don't want to, you know, be your friend. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, I do. I do. I start talking about birds. I know who my friends are.
Right.
I'm like, oh, birds. And it's so funny because automatically they're like, birds. Oh, nerd. And I'm like, yeah, if you knew how cool birds are, though. You know what I mean? There's
right.
things once you start finding out, you're like, what the hell? What was I doing all that time? I mean, because
right.
I didn't start actually noticing birds till like, I don't know, 7 years ago, maybe. I can't remember.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. And then
okay.
I thought, dang, I wasted all that time not realizing like how cool birds are.
Yeah.
I
spent my whole life.
Yard, you know, or what did I see and not even realize what I was seeing?
Right. It is amazing. I've loved birds, like I said, since I was 5 and I'm 41. And it's just like I was talking to my buddy. We went to go get wings one day, and it must have been like some sort of sportsy day. And everyone was coming in with brown stuff on. I'm like, God, I really hate sports. And my buddy's like, what if people say the birds are stupid? I'm like, let me give an example. I said, so the whole point of football is to hold the ball and run over a line. That's it. That's really like, that's the essence of football, is to like cross a line with a stupid ball. And then I said, that's the whole point of football. But then, there's other little things involved with, like, you know, I don't know, touchdowns or all the other, I don't know about football, but there's other things that are involved. But that's the essence of football. But then you have a black pole warbler. It's a 12-gram little songbird that lives up in Alaska, breeds in Alaska, northern Canada, and in the fall makes a southeast migration towards the coast and then flies straight out into the middle of the ocean and then picks up a wind. I believe it's called the northeast trade winds, and that takes it straight down to Venezuela within a two-day straight flight once it leaves the coast. That's badass. That's amazing. Like, you're going to tell me that football's
amazing.
Cool and that little bird flies all that day up, sun up, sun down for two straight days, 48 hours on the wing flying. You're going to tell me that football's cool? But there's, you can't, that can't compare. There's no way. You know what I mean? That's not even, you can't even, that's not comparable at all.
Right. Yeah, totally.
And, there, and that's just one of all of these other cool birds, like the Hudsonian godwit and the Arctic tern and other, you know, the red knot, all those other cool species that make these crazy migrations. You can't tell me that sports are cooler. There's no way.
Yeah. Sports doesn't do all that. And look at
right.
doing it.
Yeah. Right. Correct.
That's amazing. Totally amazing. So
yeah.
Flipping the Bird is a segment that what people think about birds, but then when they find out, they're like, what? Get out of here. I didn't know that. Like, you know, birds don't live in nests. You know, people think, oh, you're a bird, you live in a nest. Do you have any, like, flipping
right.
the bird that comes to mind?
About, I mean, I, just about which bird I like, you mean? Or
anything. Yeah,
like
any bird.
Just something
any,
up.
Yeah, anything about any bird.
I, you know what? I think one of the coolest birds is the American woodcock. Actually, there's many different birds I could talk about, but I'll give you two examples. American woodcock is one of the number one species that I really enjoy and I think are cool. I mean, they look like little aliens. When they first get calls about them in the spring, downtown, people are calling and say, I got this bird from outer space downtown. And I'm like, really long beak. I'm like, it's American woodcock. It's a sandpiper. You know, they're common. And they are one of the first birds to migrate to Ohio in the spring and one of the last to leave. So that's really incredible that they can stay here when it's, you know, cold and snowy still, those chubby little bodies. I mean, they're just such cool little birds, but they really have a lot of trouble in our cities. I mean, their eyes are set kind of far back on the back of their head because they probe in the mud, feeding on earthworms and things like that. So when their face is down at the level of the soil, you know, they've evolved to have their eyes kind of in the back of their head for, you know, to spot predation, but that doesn't work well when you're flying towards a window downtown. They don't have the greatest vision straight forward. So, right. And they're such fast, heavy-bodied flyers that when they hit that window, it's a very low chance they're going to survive. We last year in 2019, we collected 142 woodcock down there in Cleveland downtown, and we released 34, which is huge. I mean, that's a crazy number for a rehab center to release 34 woodcocks because they don't do well in captivity, typically, unless you know how to treat them properly, which we've mastered that, luckily. But 34 is incredible. But I think 89 of them were DOAs. And a few had to be euthanized due to their severity of injuries that they were admitted with. So that's an incredible bird. I mean, just if you watch their courtship displays in March, where the males are showing off to the females and doing their aerial displays right at dusk, it's really impressive to watch. So if you have never done that before, you know, go to an open field adjacent to some thickets right before dusk, you know, end of March and even in April. And you'll see these little dance that these guys do, and it's really incredible. They do this awesome flight where they fly straight up in the middle of the air, and they kind of circle above, flittering their wings, and they zoom back down and zigzag right back to the exact same spot that they were sitting before they took off, and it's really cool to do. So woodcock is one bird I really think are amazing. But the second one is a very controversial bird that you can probably know what I'm going to bring up right now. It's Canada goose. I love Canada geese. They're amazing birds. They're beautiful. They're amazing parents, and they're very misunderstood, and they're considered a nuisance. But the reason why they're considered a nuisance is because we cause them to be nuisances. We provide everything they need, and then we don't want them there. You know, we have these beautiful manicured, golf courses with these beautiful wetlands, and then we don't want geese there. You know, you have a residential housing developments and condos that you know, rip out a huge wetland. They plan, you know, they build all these condos or these houses, subdivisions, and they have to have a pond because it's in the ordinance to have a pond because of water drainage, because before it did it naturally. But now that you screwed the landscape up, the water has nowhere to go. So it just puddles up. So they have to build these retention ponds, and then that attracts waterfowl because it's water. It's kind of hard to understand for some reason, but you get a bunch of geese that are coming there, and then they're very protective parents, but right. People say they're mean. So when people tell me the geese are mean, I say, well, if you were at the mall and you had kids with you and some guy runs up on your kids, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
you know, they're going to protect their babies, and they're not seen as mean. They're seen as good parents. But then when you reverse it on geese, they're mean. And I don't really think that's not true. They're being protective parents. So they're successful parents. They're a successful species that are adjusting to our urban environments, and I just think they're amazing birds. I love Canada geese, and I just think they're super cool. So I'm always fighting for the goose. I'm on team goose. I tell people.
Team Canada goose. I used to say yep. Canadian geese, and then Tim Fairweather corrected me and said it's Canada, and I'm like, but they're yes. Canadian, yes. And he's like, they don't have citizenship, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm like, does that count? I don't know. I started thinking about it. I'm like, Belgian waffle or Belgium waffle? You know, and I like, kept trying to think,
right.
Does something else have citizenship? But yeah, so Canada geese.
Yep.
I always
Canada goose. That is the name of that bird.
We just saw cackling at Wellington Reservoir yesterday.
Yep.
And that's yep. A,
she texted.
Oh, yeah, because Janice, she was there, and I'm like, what's up, girl? And she's like, they're here. And there I went with the bins. And I'm like, oh, my God. I would take pictures of every bird. Like, I could make that bill smaller. Mm-hmm. I really could. Yeah, but then we saw
yep.
them. They were so cute.
Yeah, I got those texts from her. She's like, hey, what are these? I'm like, that looks like a lesser. And then she sent me another photo. And she's like, this is a cackling, right? I'm like, absolutely. Look at that short little bill. So she was... She found, I think, two of them, and then a couple of the birders headed out there to get the bird.
Yeah.
So that was cool. There was, I think, the photo she had. There were some Canadas, there were some lessers, and there was some cackling in there. So.
Yeah, that was.
That's
good
a very
one.
Cool,
showed all of
very
them.
Cool bird. Yeah.
Yep.
I haven't seen a cackling in years. It's been, because I never chase them because I mean they're cool and stuff, but I don't, you know, I'm never in an area where they are, you know, where I can go over there and get them pretty quick. And the one year, it was a couple years ago at Coe Lake, actually, I was checking on some birds we had released, and I just looked up, and there was a cackling goose standing 10 feet in front of me on the ice with all the other Canadas. I'm like, where the hell did you come from? And I didn't see him fly in, and then I reported a bunch, and then a bunch of birders came out to see it right away, and then I looked up and he was gone, so he must have left with the other bird or something, but that was the last one I've seen was that bird. That was a couple of years ago.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was cool to see him. I think I've seen lesser before and thought they were cackling, but for sure
yeah,
these were.
It's kind of, because they're small. They can have a small little bill, but it's that stubby short, the stubby bill and that short neck that really stands out for cackling, that darker breast and stuff too. That's a good field mark for those guys. But I bet you a lot of lessers are just even smaller Canadas. We had a Canada this summer that we rehabbed and released, and it was tiny. I mean, it was a super small little bird, but it was a Canada. I mean, it came from, Cleveland area. It was a young bird that came in. It was just really, really small. So there's a lot of size variance in between each species of really any bird, really. But I mean, there's, especially with the Canada geese, there's so much size variance with the males and females too. So it's, you got to look at other field marks to try to get those guys ID'd properly.
Yeah, I don't try to get too close to them. I know Janice does. I do not. I'm like, I look the other way. I just like walk fast. I'm like, nope. I don't know how she does it. I'll see a picture of her holding one. I'm like, nope, wouldn't be me.
Oh, you don't want to help? You want to hold them?
I mean, if they're not going to bite me or something. I'm scared of chickens. Yeah. I'm scared of all that.
You're scared of chickens?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's an interesting one.
Yeah. Well, they got pointy beaks and those big claws. Might run you.
They don't really have claws. They don't really have claws. A T-Rex has a claw, maybe, but chickens, I don't know about.
But they have little arms.
I think you just have to hold a chicken, then you're going to be like, ah, okay, that's not that bad.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever touched one. Mm-mm.
See? Nope. So now you just got to hold a chicken and then a goose, and you're going to be fit. You'll be fine, and you'll be all set.
I've held mallards, not a big goose or anything. Mm-mm. I'll leave that to Janice.
You could be the next Janice. You could be like the Janice too,
Oh, Lord. By the time I got there, there wouldn't be anything to rescue. I'd be like, I'm on my way. Wait a minute. What was I doing? And then I'd make like 20 stops. Yeah, I don't know. Nope, I couldn't do that. Mm-mm. I'm not on task that way. I'm not built like that. Liz saw that.
You're hilarious.
Hermans, because I want to say Hermans.
Hermans go, yeah, that was cool. That's a good bird from Florida, man.
No,
and what's so cool is an Ohio native, an Ohio birder found that. Debbie Parker found that bird originally down there.
That's
super cool that an Ohio birder goes down to Florida and finds a rarity that's from California. That's just so cool.
Right.
Our Ohio birders are badass.
I found it back in October. But Much of anything, really. I didn't know what it was. I sent a picture to Janice.
So you found the bird originally then?
Yeah.
Originally. Before Debbie? Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't know that. That's sweet.
But it was
that's
months
really cool.
ago.
You found it then, originally.
Yeah, back in October.
Oh, that's awesome.
October. Yeah. But that was at
Jetty
Park.
Well, that's even cooler.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was so excited. I sent a picture to Janice. I'm like, girl. I looked it up. It says Hermans. And, girl, I'm always this ID and something. People are going to be like, I'm going to get kicked out of birding. But don't it look like a Herman's? And she's like, girl, message Amar. So I'm like, all right.
You guys are hilarious.
I messaged Amar and I'm like, hey, tell me this is a Herman's. He's like,
she's
where
probably
are
going,
you?
Man, I just grabbed a drink this morning.
He's like, where are you? And I'm like, Jetty Park. And he's like, do the locals know? I'm like, I don't know any locals. I'm on vacation. And he's like, I'm on the phone with Michael Brothers. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
Nice. Well, that's good. That's really cool that you found that bird. That's really cool.
And he's like, yes, it's a Hermans. It's never been seen that far north. And I'm like, I got a record, finches, and I'm dancing all around and stuff. And I'm like, well, it's from California. Actually, we're in Florida, so well, maybe if it was down in Mexico. And I'm like, if the longitudinal line or whatever, I'm like, do I have a state record or not? Like, I couldn't figure it out.
That's awesome. That's a good bird, man. That's cool.
He's like, are you going to put it on eBird? And I'm like, yeah. And so I text Janice. I'm like, girl, I don't know how to work eBird. Can you stick this bird on there for me? And she's like, I got
you. So Janice put on eBird for you?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, she's like, I got you, girl. I'm like, thanks. She's like, send me a picture. That's awesome. Yeah, it was so cool because I didn't know what it was. I told my husband, we were standing on the beach. I'm taking pictures of the skimmers. Coolest bird. I love their face. Love, love, love their face.
Yeah.
And he's like, what about that bird? What about, I'm like, leave me alone. It's a laughing gull. And he's like, what about that one? I'm like, Sanderling, leave me alone. I'm like, listen, just tell me if you see something that looks different, like a different color beak, different legs, like just overall different. Then bug me. He's like, all right. So I'm like, all right. So I'm taking pictures. And he's like, what about all brown? And I'm like, what? And he's like, all brown. And I'm like, where? And he goes, yeah, gull standing over there. And I'm like, brown. I'm like a herring gull. And I looked and I'm like, dang, that thing's like chocolate, you know? And I'm like,
right.
Take a bunch of pictures of him.
Yeah, that's unmistakable bird.
Yeah. And he flies towards me. I'm like, wow. And then he like hovers and I put my camera down because he was too close. I swear to God, he was going to land on me. And I look at my husband and I'm like, are you getting this? So he like grabs his phone and hits record. And it was just like in my face. And then it flew around me, landed. I took some more pictures and I went back to taking pictures of the skimmer.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's crazy. You had no idea what it was at first. You had no idea what how rare of a bird you had there.
Absolutely not. So I'm like, yeah, that's nice. Whatever. Back to the skimmer is the more important. And then and then when I looked at the app as we were driving back to my brother-in-law's, I'm like, there's no brown gull. So I start Googling Florida gulls and I don't see anything that looks like that. So I'm like, Florida brown gulls. It's all herrings, whatever. And I'm like, brown gull. And then it popped up Hermans. And I'm like, all right, let's see where it's from. In California. And I'm like, oh boy, here we go. That's why they call it dope, you know, whatever. And Ed's driving and I go, didn't it look just like this? I'm pulling it up on the camera, holding my phone next to it. I'm like, oh, I would hate to. What if it, you know, I thought I saw a little stint at Sandy Ridge, but Ben told me I'm crazy.
Right.
I swear I did. So I'm like, do I really call it that? And that's when I started texting Janice because I'm like, girl.
Was that a state record, wasn't it?
No, because it had already been seen, but just further south in Florida.
Oh,
okay.
I was
by Cocoa Beach.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
So, but the same bird though, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's still the same bird.
Yes.
Yep. And then when I went back,
so that...
when Liz was down there, she's like, hey, do you want to hook up and go birding? I'm like, heck yeah. So we went birding Tuesday and everywhere it was like kind of one thing after another. Parks were closed. Like it was crazy. And then she's like, hey, I want to hit that beach. You know, we'll look for the Hermans. And I'm like, okay, whatever. So we get there and she's like, well, that one looks kind of dark. And I'm like, no. And there was really hardly any birds there. So I'm like, dang, I can't believe it. And then Liz is like, I think I see him over on the pier. And I'm like, what? And I look and I'm like, I don't know. I can't tell for sure. And she's like, all right, I'm just head that way. And I'm like, well, I'll head back on the beach. And the more I kept looking through the binoculars, I'm like, there's no way that I can't even believe it.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm so blind, you know, I better get closer. So I'd run a little and then, you know, oh, there's a shell, whatever. And I'm like, no, stay on task. So I kept like looking and there he was sitting on the pier. I'm like, oh my God. And I turn around, I start waving my arms. I don't know where the heck Liz is. Like, I'm just standing there. Like all of a sudden I'm in like a convulsion or something on the beach. Like, it's him.
Oh, that's awesome.
No one's around.
That
you
is
know,
amazing.
Like this, you know, crazy girl just caught the Holy Ghost or whatever, you know, they would think. Who knows? Florida, then I was on drugs, you know, whatever.
That's awesome.
So then he dipped out over the other side of the pier and I'm looking and I see him like he had landed on the other side and I'm like, I'm doing it. So I like book through those pylons or whatever. The tide's coming up. I'm scared of the water. I'm like, if I drown trying to see this damn bird again, I swear to God.
Oh, that's awesome. I get over that's there. A good bird, though. It's worth it.
Oh, and that's a good the bird. Second time, I was just like, I can't even believe it. Like, I think that's all I said for like 3 hours straight. I was like,
right.
I cannot
oh, yeah.
believe I
would have
saw
too.
Him again.
That's
oh, it was crazy. Yeah, yes. So I was so happy Liz found him. I was like, I can't believe it. Yeah, it was so cool. So cool.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
And he just was posing, you know, doing his thing. He doesn't care. He's still a young and he doesn't know better. Crazy.
Right. That's awesome.
Chuck just posted a picture of a bird the other day, and I'm like, man, that looks like a Heermann's or whatever, or like mixed in. Or I mean, it looked dark.
Yeah, there's been a couple really dark young herrings that have been hanging out at Edgewater, like between Edgewater and Wendy Park and stuff. And there's been two that have been like real dark. And that's, I think that's one of the ones I've been seeing too, is that dark one that Chuck found the other day. That's a beautiful bird. That's a variation they can have with these freaking herring gulls. I mean, they can be like really light and look like a slaty back, and they can be really dark and look like a Heermann's. It's ridiculous how variant they can be.
Oh, yeah. I give up. I don't even bother anymore. I do, like, try to learn, but, yeah.
You can't give up, because what did you find a Heermann's in Ohio, and you don't tell anybody?
Janice will find out, because I'll send her the picture and go, hey, what's
Well, that? Yeah, that's true.
I mean, but finally it did say it. When I just said brown gull, it finally popped up, you know, because on the Audubon app or whatever, it showed an adult. So, yeah, I didn't see it. I'm like,
right.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So how long have you worked at Lake Erie Nature and Science Center?
So it's been actually a long journey. I started volunteering, I think, in like 2007 or 2008. And I first, when I first knew about the place, it's kind of a funny story, because I was, I had brought an injured hairy woodpecker that ironically hit a window at Rocky River Nature Center. I was sitting at the window watching the songbirds, and I saw a hairy hop around the ground. I'm like, that's not a normal behavior for a hairy woodpecker. So I went out and grabbed it, and I asked the folks in there what I should do with it, because at that time I didn't know where I could take them. And so they told me there. So I headed up over there and brought the bird in, and I talked to the rehabber there at the time. I'm like, oh, this is a cool job. How do you get this job? And she's like, well, you have to go to school, and you have to have a college degree and all this other stuff. I'm like, well, that sucks. I don't have a college degree. So I, you know, never thought I could work there and stuff. And then at the time I was working at a pet shop. It was actually my first job. I was working there for almost 15 years. And I, a few years, you know, before that though, I had ran into a lady that had an owl shirt on at the pet store. I'm like, hey, I like your shirt. And we started talking, and she's like, you need to volunteer at Nature Center. I'm like, okay, well, I don't know where it's at. And then it turned out to be the same place I had taken that hairy woodpecker. And so I started volunteering and around then, and that was kind of history. I just kind of volunteered there, and I was working with other rehabbers at the time, just catching birds, because I'm really fast at catching things. So I would, you know, catch birds for Medina Raptor Center or other places, and I just was good at handling birds, because I've had them all my whole life, and I know just a lot about birds. And so I just worked out really well. And then in 2010, I applied for a seasonal position at the center. And so I quit the pet shop. That was my full-time job, but I quit there trying to get a job at the Nature Center. Didn't work out that year. And then following spring, I applied and I got a part-time internship there. It was back then, it was just called a seasonal position, and it was paid. It was, you know, part-time, but it was paid. So I did that, and that didn't really happen. And then eventually the, you know, things kind of switched around there. And my boss, Amy, that had my job at the time, I got promoted. And she messaged me. She's like, I need you here. I'm like, okay, well, I have three other jobs right now. I was working at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History. I was working at the aquarium, and I was working at a reptile facility. And I was like, I need to look at my schedule and figure out they have one day off a week. And so I ended up volunteering there again that day. And then she's like, no, actually, I need you to work here. And she's like, I can get you part-time, but I'm trying to work on full-time, but it's going to take a little bit of time. And eventually, in 2014, I got full-time there. So it's been since 2014 that I was full-time, but I was paid part-time in 2013. So it was like April of 2013 I started there.
Man, Oh, good long time.
Yeah.
All
Yeah.
kinds of
It's almost
animals
70,
and
over 7 years
birds.
now.
Yeah. All kinds of animals and birds you've helped.
Yeah, it goes quick. Time goes quick. It's definitely been cool. Rehab is it's a whole nother ball game with animal care. I mean, you have to know. I mean, we admitted, counting the dead, lights out birds and live ones, we admitted 154 species last year. So most of those are birds, obviously, but we had some reptile species, mammal species. So rehabbers have to know how to care for all these different animals all at the same time, because that's what we do. We don't know what we're gonna get. I mean, I can go into work tomorrow and we can get a call that, we have a bald eagle coming in, or a ruddy duck, or a tundra swan, or you don't know what you're gonna get. So that's why rehab's fun, is because you have to know how to care for all these different animals, and know how to care for them for each species. And it's really challenging, but it's
Right.
also rewarding, at times.
Oh, I bet. I bet. I couldn't do the heartbreak, but yeah. The benefits outweigh
Yeah,
it.
it does. I mean, at the heart, obviously you can't fix everything, and on average, if you do your numbers right, rehabbers release about 33% of their animals, 33% die, and 33% have to be euthanized on average. Every situation is different and every center is different, but that's typically an average, ratio. But last year, with the lights out birds, we had a 96% release rate, which is insane. I mean, I had actually had the lady do the numbers a couple times, because I'm like, are you sure getting that right? Like, is that correct? And it was, from the birds that came in alive and were released, just lights out, it was 96% release rate, which is like astonishing.
Wow. Yeah, that's crazy. Crazy
Yes.
good. Awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. I love it. It's definitely, I mean, I wouldn't, rehabbers don't get paid much. We do what we do because we love to do it, not because we're getting, bank.
Right.
We're not, not going to be living on a in a mansion.
Right.
But I don't care, because I love what I do, and it's way too much fun to, it's just like people, most people don't like their jobs, or they hate their jobs, but I can definitely say that I love my job. It's the best job ever, and I couldn't imagine doing anything else.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome,
Yeah.
awesome. See, why birds are
Yeah.
cool. That's what we're trying to get the
My
message
birds are
across.
amazing.
They are amazing. I appreciate it so, so much. I
No problem.
know all the good
It
work
was
you
good
do,
talking.
and I've messaged you I don't know how many times about the groundhog and the poor bird and other birds and bluebirds and
Yep.
we
Yep.
appreciate you and we're glad you're out there.
Yeah, well, I appreciate being there, and I appreciate the support, and we need volunteers, and we need more help. And so, reach out, and we can
Yeah,
be
how
working the
can
birds
people
firsthand,
reach
right
out?
up there. It's super cool.
How would they reach out and be able to volunteer?
So you could just go to Lake Erie Nature and Science Center's website. We actually just renovated it. It's amazing now. Before, I didn't even know how to navigate it, and I worked there, so it was like a real pain. But now our marketing staff did a great job on organizing and redoing it. And it's amazing now. It's really easy to follow. It's user friendly, and so you can just go there and find the volunteering section. And there's volunteering for animal care, which is our resident animals, and also rehab, and then lights out too. So we need volunteers for all of that right now. So we're looking for more people to help out. So just go to our website.
Oh, awesome. Awesome,
Yeah.
awesome. All right. Thank you. I
No
appreciate
problem. Thanks
it.
for having me. This is a cool podcast. I'm excited about it. Birds are awesome, and I'm glad that you're doing it.
Oh, thanks, 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 thanks. Because of you, more birds, so more awesomeness.
Yeah.
Yay! All right, Tim. Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for joining me today. And if you haven't already, please hit subscribe and follow My Favorite Birder on Facebook. And I will see you out birding. Boom, 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 chicka, chicka, bow, wow. That's it. I don't know. That's what people expect, right? Kookaloo, kookadoo.